Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
You know, life's funny. I get a lot of laughs going through, and I'm sure you get a lot of laughs at me, too. But I enjoy a lot of things. Sometimes I feel like I'm a comedian. Wendy, Annie, Kimberly, and Cinda. They have been gathering up junk. That's the best way to put it, gathering up junk. Most of y'all know where Aunt Millie lived, right next to where Annie and Charlie live now. We had cleaned that house out for office or a work area for what we're doing. And the ladies have decided, since the house was empty, that was a good place to gather up junk and have a yard sale. We were out riding yesterday, and Wendy and Annie got to looking at yard sales. Just begging to stop. Oh, look. When you know that, man, speed up. Don't hit the brake. Accelerate. That way you say, I hate I couldn't get stopped. But I finally made the statement yesterday, and this is where I think I'm a comedian sometimes. I don't think the women liked it. They said, oh, we've got to stop. Saw the biggest flea market. We've got to stop there. I said, what do you want, more junk to sell next weekend? And Charlie agreed with me. So I'm throwing him under the bus. I said, what we're going to do, we're going to go in there and give $3 for it and sell it next week for 50 cents and count the money that we made. And I'll tell you what, that heat is working during worship service. It wasn't working during Bible study. It's warm. But we call that spring cleaning, don't we? We gather up stuff and we accumulate our stuff, and we look around the house and we say we can live with or without this. So then we have a yard sale. So that's really what I want us to talk about this morning, not having yard sales, but spring cleaning. How is it that we can have spring cleaning in our own lives, in our own houses? And tonight we're going to continue, and you're going to like me, Miss Kay. I told her yesterday when I was talking to her, I said, I got you a good long sermon for in the morning, but for you, I've divided it. So tonight we're going to look at how can we create a home? How can we create a home, our families, where we keep certain things out of our home, that we keep Satan out of our home, we keep the world out of our home. How do we control the things that's coming into our houses, in our homes? And we're going to look at that tonight. So I encourage you and I invite you to come back tonight, because we are going to focus on our homes and what's going on in the world and what can we do to help our homes. If you have your Bibles, be turning to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12, but I want to kind of set the scene for you what's going on here. Israel here, they've been in slavery in Egypt for years. In an answer to the prayers of the Israelite people, God sent Moses to confront Pharaoh with this command. You remember the command? Let my people go. Let my people go. But of course, you know the story and you know what happened. Pharaoh wasn't listening. He wasn't listening, so God brought forth plagues. Plagues to try to persuade Pharaoh to take heed, to give in to God's request. And the passage of Scripture that we're going to read today in Exodus chapter 12, we're going to be looking this morning, that describes the first and most important festival when we think about the children of Israel in history that they had, and that's called the Passover. The Passover, however, the meal celebrates the love of their God. The love of God that He had for them. That He not only freed them from slavery, but He protected them. So let's read chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the tenth month, they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall take nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and with your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The Passover was only the first day of a week-long festival. And that festival was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's what I want us to concentrate on this morning and tonight. A man carried his son into the emergency room. When he got into the emergency room, a EMT was there to meet him, and the man was embarrassed. He said, My son has a problem, so they carried him back into a room. He said, The problem with my son, I don't understand how he did this, and it is embarrassing, but he took a toy tire off of a car. And he got it up his nose. And he could not get it out. The EMT assured him that this was something that kids do often. The technician removed the tire and sent them on their way. A few minutes later, however, the father came back in the emergency room, and he was looking for that same EMT, and he said, I need to talk to you in private. He carried him back to the room, and this is what was said. He said, While we were on our way home, I was looking at the little tire, and I was wondering, How on earth did my son get this thing up his nose? And he went on to explain what the problem was. Fortunately, the EMT removed the tire from the dad's nose in just a few seconds. The moral of the story that I found this article about, there are certain things that don't belong up a person's nose. It said they might fit. They might not even cause pain when they're up your nose, but they just don't belong. How many times do we have to try something? We wonder how someone does a certain thing. Just like the father and his son. The son had done something that the father was embarrassed of to start with, but he had to try it. And we find ourselves in the same situation as someone else. We realize that they had a problem, and we see the overall problem that they have, and we find ourselves exactly where they're at. You know, there are certain things that don't belong in our bodies. There are certain things that don't belong in our minds. And then there's definitely certain things that don't belong in our homes. Now, I want you to think about the text that we just read. That was precisely what the Feast of Unleavened Bread was about. Not the tire in a boy's nose, but it was designed to teach that there are certain things in our life that we have to get rid of. And that's spring cleaning. That is looking at our lives, looking at the things that we have in our life, and removing those things. Yeah, I aggravate my wife from time to time when she starts gathering up stuff to sell, because I go to thinking about what we give for it and what we get for it. And I joke about that. But let's don't joke for just a minute. Let's think about our life. Let's think about my life, and let's think about your life. Think about some of the things that we have in our life today and what it costs. What is it that it cost us because we have something in our lives that don't belong? And let's jump fast forward to however long that's going to be, and what is it that we're going to get out of it? You see, a lot of times we hold on to things in our life, and that's obviously what I'm talking about, and that's what God was using there to symbolize the power of sin when we think about unleavened bread, that being yeast. He uses that to talk about the power of sin that we have in our life when we allow sin to get in our life, when we allow just a little bit of it. You know the difference between a bread and a loaf bread and cracker? Yeast. You think it's dough, but it's not. It's yeast. And I didn't know this. I've done some study on it. I've studied this week when I think about it. When you think about the Passover, it symbolizes the freedom that God wanted to give his people. He wanted them to have the freedom, but that feast was followed by 6 days in their life that focused on removing from their lives. And when this took place, not only could they not eat of this, they had to clean and get all of it out of their homes, out of their house. When you're remembering God and you're going through what we're talking about today, they had to remove these things from their lives and from their homes when they showed the respect they had to show during this Feast of Unleavened Bread. God's people were instructed, it says, not only to eat unleavened bread during that week, but they were not to allow anything that had any yeast at all in their home. Anyone who ate anything that contained yeast during the week was to be cut off from their people. Think about our lives when we think about the difference between a loaf of bread and a cracker. Think about what sin does in our life. When we think about sin and we think about the difference that it makes in our life. You know, bread with yeast, it tastes good, doesn't it? Matter of fact, I ate bread this morning. I put butter on it and I put jelly on it and I really enjoyed it. I thought, boy, that's some fresh bread and it tastes good. Sin tastes good, doesn't it? If it didn't, it wouldn't be a temptation for anyone. Satan would not have an upper hand on anyone if sin didn't taste good. Number two, when we think about sin and the importance in our life, or the importance that it is that we watch out, because how it looks good or it tastes good, it doesn't take much yeast to change the shape of that bread. Put just a little bit, and it changes. It warps, from what I read, the shape of the dough. When you read this and you think about what God wanted from the children of Israel, when sin enters an area in your life, it warps your life. It changes your shape. It changes. It doesn't take much to warp your character. Thirdly, yeast makes the bread looks like it contains more flour than it actually does. A cracker, it said, a larger loaf may contain that much more flour than a cracker, but because of the yeast that is in it, it looks like it has more. Sin has that same effect today. Sin, like bitterness and hatred, can make you feel that we have more power over others. Maybe even like a bully. A few weeks ago, we talked about gossip. We talked about a tongue. And how that we can do so much damage when we're talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ, or when we're bullying someone. We feel like we're bigger or we're better when we're talking about things, or we're pushing someone down. But yet you're not big at all. Sin, like bigotry, hypocrisy, can make us feel more important than we actually are. Someone brought up in class this morning, television shows that we watch. Sinning by viewing crude movies. Things that we know that we should not, can make us believe that we're more mature and grown up than we really are. The sins of getting drunk or getting high can fool us into thinking we've gained more control over our lives. It fools us. That's what the feast that we're talking about this morning that God wanted to point out to them. You don't just eat it, you remove it all from your lives. You remove it all from your homes. When we concentrate on living a Christian life and we concentrate on following God, when we turn our life over to God and we commit to Jesus and we say that we're going to live that Christian life and we're going to live godly lives. Charlie brought out this morning in class about us being a holy people. When we're set apart, the Bible says we are a peculiar people. We have to remove something from our life, and that's sin. And it's not a one of us in here this morning that can remove sin completely from our lives, to the point that we can say, I'm not going to commit sin again, because we're all going to sin and we're all going to fall short from time to time. But we are talking about that willful sin. We're talking about taking sin that we know that we have and repenting of it, purging it, cleaning out our house, cleaning out our lives, removing every speck of it from our life. And that's determination, is it not? We're working hard for the last 2 or 3 weeks to get together for this big yard sale that we're going to clean out the house. As a matter of fact, the words I heard was we're going to get rid of the junk. We're going to fix it where it's not so cluttered. We're going to remove the things that we don't want or need anymore in our homes. And Charles, I take that to mean it's going to make the home better. And that's what we're talking about this morning when we think about our lives. So we, as Christians, we have to examine our lives and we have to look at it and say, These are the things that I need to take and I need to remove from my life so that I can be that better Christian. I think we need to go back just like the children of Israel did, and we have to sweep the floors. We have to look under the table and look under the bed and look under the coverts and look everywhere so that we can make sure that we are presenting our lives the way that they should be to God. That we've purged ourselves from these sins. We've cleaned it out and we've removed it. This morning, we all have struggles in our life, some of different natures. We all have temptations that we face. We all have different attitudes when it comes to certain things. But when we think about our lives, where do you stand with God? What is it that challenges you the most to be as close to God as you should be? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We have to be drawing near to Him for Him to draw near to us. Nick brought out a very good point this morning in class. He said, sometimes idols today are not cut and dried. They're not easy. It's foggy, I think, is the word he used. When we're looking at idols, when we read about it in the Old Testament verses today, sometimes it's not clear. Our judgment is foggy. What is it that makes your judgment foggy with God today? What is it that challenges you to wonder whether you're in the right relationship with God? You know, when Israel offered bread to God along with burnt offerings, that bread was to have no yeast in it at all. Listen to what Jesus warned his disciples. And this is found in Luke 12 and verse 1. He said, "Be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." The church at Corinth, Paul was dealing with a man in that congregation who was engaged in sexual immorality. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, but I want to read verse 6 to you. He said, "Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? It runs it all." We have a tendency, including Tim, we have a tendency to want to hold on to things in our life that we don't need. They make a TV show about it. They call it hoarders. They hoard things. They can't let go. They can't let go of things in our life. We cannot be that same person when it comes to sin in our life. We've got to let go of it. Remove it from your life. And it may be difficult, like if you're struggling with an addiction. If you're struggling with an addiction, it's not easy to just take it and lay it there and walk away from it and say, "I'm not ever going to think about that again." Because you're going to think about it again. It may be a struggle. It may be a lot of praying. It may be a lot of crying. It may be a lot of sweating and blood and somebody holding on to you if you'd overcome it. But if you'll make that commitment that I'm going to clean every crumb of this sin out of my life, God will help you. This morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess that He is Lord today, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you've been unfaithful, you're here and you're struggling in some way and you need help cleaning sin out of your life, we pray that you will come while we sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. We do appreciate you being here this morning. Is there anything that needs to be announced before we dismiss?
Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for letting us assemble here this morning. We thank you for the beautiful weather outside. We thank you for the words we have heard here this morning, Lord, and just help us to use them in our everyday lives. And continue to be with the ones on our prayer list and the troops overseas, and just help them and watch over them. And just let us assemble here at the next point in time, and just for your zombie sins, Christ's name, pray. Amen.